Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We're joined by my colleague at the Center for Security Policy. He is Fred Fleitz, our Senior Vice President for Programs and Policy. He is a career intelligence professional. You see his work frequently in places like National Review and Newsmax, Fox, and elsewhere. He comes to all of this by virtue of 20 years' experience in the Central Intelligence Agency as an analyst specializing in the proliferating threats of weapons of mass destruction, among other things. He is also a man who served with John Bolton as his chief of staff in the State Department, and also, not least, as a professional staff member of the House Intelligence Committee. He's always welcome here. Fred, thanks for joining us.
Good to be here, Frank.
Let's talk a little bit about these proliferating regimes that you've tracked for so long, Fred. I guess sort of an update is in order. I saw that John Boehner, the somewhat disgraced former Speaker of the House of Representatives, was up on the net the other day at the, I think the Columbus Post-Dispatch, if I'm not mistaken, was talking about his sharp criticism of the Iran deal. All I could say is, now he tells us. Talk a little bit about where we are on this so-called deal, and if you wish, the fact that we probably wouldn't have it if it hadn't been for the connivance of John Boehner to allow it to go through.
Well, I think that's exactly right, Frank. Boehner said that this is a terrible deal that's going to do enormous damage to U.S. national security, and it's something that Congress shouldn't have passed, and we didn't hear that from him months ago when he was Speaker, when he should have basically stood firm to say, this will not do, this will not pass. And, you know, there was an effort to try to give Congress an opportunity to vote on the deal under something called the Cooker-Cardin bill, which Boehner was a party to. I'll admit, many of us thought that was a good idea at the time, and frankly, those who said it wasn't were right. And by letting that procedure go through, it gave legitimacy to this terrible agreement. And I think, you know, Boehner's really come to this party too late.
Yeah, indeed. And talk a little bit about the elections in Iran. Is there any evidence that one of the putative benefits of making this agreement with the Iranians was that we were going to get a new government that was going to be is committed to transforming that nation and bringing it into the civilized world as, well, Barack Obama has been engaged in fundamentally transforming ours?
Well, as we've discussed on this show before, and as Richard Perle has told you in an earlier interview, this agreement was about transforming Iran. And we know that all the moderate candidates were excluded from the election. You wouldn't know that from the press reports, which says that moderate candidates did well. These moderate candidates are people who were allied to President Rouhani, who is not a moderate. The real moderates were not allowed to run in the election. Iran has not been transformed.
But Fred, it was the case, as I understand it, that in some instances, because they weren't allowed to run any of their so-called moderates, they wound up putting on the moderate lists pedigreed hardliners. And, you know, this whole thing just reeks of what I think you've called national security fraud. And it seems to me just part of the larger fraud here that we've been told that this is somehow going to spare us a nuclear threat from Iran. Any hope on that front at this point?
No, I don't think there is any hope. And this is what happened when Rouhani ran for president. He was heralded as a moderate. Well, no, the real moderates weren't allowed to run for president. Rouhani was handpicked by the real leader of Iran, Supreme Leader Khamenei. He does what Khamenei tells him to do. And the candidates who ran for the Iranian parliament were handpicked by Khamenei and Khamenei's cronies. I mean, the election was a joke.
Speaking of bad jokes, how about the idea that the United Nations is going to impose crippling sanctions on North Korea, Iran's strategic partners and aiders and abettors in their nuclear ambitions? You've tracked the UN and its shenanigans for a long time, Fred Fleitz. Is there any reason to believe that this will bring the North Koreans to heel and end the threat from that quarter?
Well, we know because of the Chinese veto, they will not be crippling sanctions. The administration wants to do something, and we will pass something in the Security Council against North Korea. What I find interesting here is that Iran is
you're
going
saying
to fire
that because the Chinese won't veto this, they've engineered it in such a way that it meets their satisfaction.
That's right. What concerns me is, even though I think these sanctions will be a slap on the wrist, Iran is about to launch a similar rocket, which is really a test of an ICBM. Let's see what happens after they do that. I doubt there will be any reaction in the Security Council.
One other piece of this, Fred, and I just want to get your thoughts on this. The Chinese have obviously negotiated this to their satisfaction, and so the appearance of somewhat tightening the sanction regime that's already in place ineffectually on North Korea is probably a snare and delusion. But beyond that, isn't the fundamental problem that as long as the Chinese don't conform to any of these sanctions, it doesn't matter a whit what the UN says?
Well, China is not going to put enough pressure on North Korea to make it change its policies. It doesn't want to endanger that regime because it wants that regime to stay. And let me mention another aspect of this. There's been evidence over the last month or so that the Obama administration has been trying to get a nuclear deal with North Korea. And I've been saying that for a long time. That was a dream of the president when he came into office, nuclear deals with North Korea and Iran. Looks like the North Koreans have not been interested, but it could be that their recent belligerent rhetoric and the test of this missile is an attempt to set the stage for a very, very generous deal before the president leaves office.
So this is perhaps in the general context of the Obama legacy, yet another bad deal that awaits us, one that will once again embolden our enemies as well as prop them up. The alternative perhaps is that the next commander-in-chief may choose not to do this sort of thing, but at the moment, in the wake of the Super Tuesday elections, one of the possibilities there seems increasingly to be that Hillary Clinton will be the next commander-in-chief. Fred, you've been tracking closely, I know, among other things, Hillary's record, her emails. What's the latest on that, the last batch of them having just been released?
55,000 emails were released. 2,079 were classified. 32 extremely classified. 22 will never be released. That sounds really bad, Frank, but let me point this out that your listeners have to remember. 55,000 were released. Clinton destroyed 30,000 of these emails. I mean, this is extraordinary. You and I were in government. We would have been in jail a long time ago if we had done a tiny fraction of the various violations of U.S. laws and regulations concerning classified information and emails. Think about it. She destroyed 30,000 emails, and we know what was released. 2,079 contained classified information, 22. Some of it is very sensitive. Special access programs, cryptography, sources and methods, lives being put at risk. When will she be held accountable?
You know, one of the things that's particularly striking to me, Fred, is that among those documents was at least one in which she is seen as ordering one of her staff members to remove classification markings from a sensitive document and thereby, you know, facilitating its being put into this insecure communication system of hers. And Fred, as you know, as a career intelligence professional, all kinds of intelligence agencies were presumably monitoring all of that traffic. That would seem to me all by itself to be the smoking gun, whether the individual in question acted on the order or not, wouldn't it?
There's an email which one of Clinton's aides was told to put the contents of a classified document into unclassified email, something called a non-paper. There are other instances of emails that were recently released where it looks like material from these emails were rewritten, the classified emails were rewritten into unclassified emails to make it easier, I guess, for Clinton as she's traveling. We also know when she's traveling, she used computers and phones that were not secure against foreign hackers, foreign intelligence services. I think a great deal of our very sensitive national security information was compromised by Secretary Clinton through the system.
It's outrageous, and the idea that she may be not held accountable for this, let alone the possibility that she might be promoted, is simply appalling to me. Fred Flights, I know it is to you as well. Thank you for this great contribution to today's program, but also to the great work that you do day in and day out at the Center for Security Policy. I look forward to talking with you again next week. We'll be talking with Peter Husey about what we're doing in the face of these various nuclear threats and worse, right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.